Thank you for tuning in today, and welcome to Grace Living for Everyday Life. The objective of this program, through teaching and interviews, is to help those who do not have a relationship with Jesus to discover the joy and simplicity of knowing Him, and for those who know Jesus, that they may discover the source of Grace Living, which is Jesus living through us. Your host, Bob Jones, will guide you through these teachings and interviews. We hope you find them helpful and enlightening. And now, here is your host for today's program, Bob Jones.
As I mentioned in our last study, I will begin a teaching series called Resting in Jesus' Life. Today, I will start with the first topic of our series. I'll discuss the question, how do we become a Christian? As I mentioned last week, I will use some baseball analogies to help illustrate some points about the spiritual life. In baseball lingo, to get on God's team, that is, becoming a Christian, we need to bat 1,000, which is a perfect batting average. The best professional may hit 450 in a season, which would be a phenomenal year. And if we were to try to make God's team with a 450 batting average, we'd be in trouble, even though it would be impressive to our peers. And even though we may be capable of doing a lot of good, it's not enough. The Bible says our good works are like filthy rags in God's sight. Our less than perfect batting average, whether 100 or 450, doesn't impress God compared to His Son Jesus with a perfect 1,000 batting average. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, we've all sinned and fall short of God's glory. Since God is holy, sinless, and perfect, we have a major problem. As we will see, Jesus, who is fully God and fully man, bridged the gap between God and mankind by dying on the cross. He took the punishment for our sins upon Himself, then rose from the dead on the third day, offering forgiveness of sins and eternal life as a free gift. Jesus batted 1,000 on our behalf. And when we accept God's free gift, we are born again. This means that God comes to live in us. And this is what it means to be a Christian. Eternal life is not a thing that comes and goes, but the very presence of God Himself living in us. The God family, the Father, the Son Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, see the Christian as having a perfect 1,000 heavenly batting average because of what Jesus has done on our behalf, and we become a member of God's team. And when we become a member of God's team, we then begin a lifelong process of learning to hit like Jesus. Jesus doesn't want us to go up to the plate by ourselves to swing the bat. And He doesn't want us to be playing on the opposing team. He wants to put His arms around us to swing the bat with us. And this is the idea of grace living. Just as you were incapable of batting 1,000 to get on God's team, you are just as incapable of hitting like Jesus in your own strength now that you're on the team. And grace living is practicing resting in Jesus with childlike faith in order that He may work through us to produce a supernatural life of love. Colossians 2:6 says, "As you receive Jesus, so walk in Him." So once we become a child of God, we then begin a lifelong relationship of learning to appropriate His power and His indwelling presence to transform us to be like Jesus. The same attitude of recognizing our inadequacy and depending on God's adequacy continues even though we're safe from the penalty of sin and on our way to heaven. We are still helpless to produce the life God is calling us too in our own power. Therefore, we always remain dependent on God. We spend a lifetime of learning to hit like Jesus by letting Him swing the bat with us at the plate of life. And thankfully, Jesus does not throw us off the team when we strike out. Just as baseball has a book which explains how to play the game, the Bible is a book which explains about the game of life. It tells us about who God is and what God is like. The Bible talks about the idea of the Trinity, three persons in the Godhead, Father, Son Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. I like to think of God as a God family. For me, it takes some of the mystery out of the idea of the Trinity. In the God family, you have the Father, the Son Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Their last name is God. They are all God operating in perfect harmony of love and purpose. So as far as we're concerned, they're one God. And since the God family are loving, they naturally want to share their love. So if we go back to the beginning of time in the Garden of Eden, we see that God created man and woman to be their friends and partners. God created a perfect, sin-free world and created Adam and Eve perfect. Adam and Eve were given authority to rule and reign over the earth. They walked with God and had a relationship with God. God created Adam and Eve in their own image to have a relationship with them as they reigned as God's representative on earth. The book of Psalms gives us insight about God's plan for mankind. In Psalm 8, 3-8, and then Psalm 24, 1-2, and Psalm 115, 16, they share that God owns everything, yet God delegated the earth to mankind to tend on their behalf. Yet God did not want puppets on a string, but gave men and women free will. Therefore, Adam and Eve could eat from any tree in the garden, but not from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, most of you know the story, how Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit when tempted by Satan. As a result, sin and death entered our world. Something else changed significantly. Adam and Eve, in essence, handed over the lease of the world to Satan. He became the new ruler of this earth. And that's why he's called the God of this world in the Bible. In a future teaching session, we'll discuss more about the origin of Satan and his demonic forces. In Genesis 3:15, the first book of the Bible, God acknowledges Satan's earthly authority when he tells Satan, "The seed of the woman will crush his head." Dutch Sheets, in his book Intercessory Prayer, explains the Hebrew word for head can refer to headship. God was acknowledging Satan's headship of the world, but that the seed, referring to Jesus, would crush his rulership of the world. And I think this concept is very important as we ponder the question, why is our world so messed up? You know, part of it has to do with Adam and Eve as heads of the human race, handing their authority to Satan. Secondly, Adam and Eve were infected with sin after the fall that led to death for all of us. Every person born into this world has inherited a sinful nature from Adam and Eve. With Satan as God of this world and sinful mankind with a free will, well, boy, that's a bad combination, and it's no wonder things are so messed up. As a result of the fall, mankind became imperfect, incapable of batting a thousand in their own strength. But mankind's fall did not change God's love for their creation, nor did it change God's plan to work to use mankind as their ambassadors on earth. God was still committed to having a loving relationship with mankind. God continued to want to work through men and women to be their divine representatives on earth. God is sovereign, and he can do anything he wants. But once they establish a system, they stay with it since they are totally just. With mankind's fallen state, there was a tremendous problem with a holy God having a relationship with unholy mankind. The Bible describes what the God family is like and how they react to the imperfection of mankind. They are the creators of the universe and everything in it. Hebrews 12:29 describes God as a consuming fire. Daniel 7:9-14 describes the Father and Son and their flaming throne of fire. In the book of Exodus of the Bible, when God showed up on a mountaintop to give the Ten Commandments to Moses, it was very scary. The whole mountain was like a burning furnace, and any unauthorized person who touched the mountain would instantly be destroyed. Even those people who were authorized to approach God had to watch their step. Aaron, who was Moses' brother, had two sons who were incinerated for offering improper incense to God. In another instance, only certain persons were authorized to carry or touch the Ark of the Covenant where God dwelt. One unauthorized person tried to steady a cart carrying the Ark of the Covenant when it almost fell over, but was struck dead instantly. God is perfect, and mankind is imperfect. Mankind, in their sinful condition, could not have the same relationship with God as they did in the garden. How was this dilemma to be resolved between imperfect mankind and a holy God? Fortunately, the God family had prepared the solution from the beginning of time that would resolve this rift between God and mankind and restore the love relationship established in the garden with Adam and Eve. The fall of mankind was no surprise to God. The God family had a plan for restoration in place. God, as we have discussed, cannot tolerate evil. God is holy, pure, sinless, and just. They hate evil but love their creation. Because of their great love, they desire to restore the relationship with mankind. They're totally just and must punish sin, and yet totally loving, eager to forgive. Understanding the character of God, their justice, their intense love for their creation will help us more greatly appreciate the great blessing of what Jesus has done on our behalf. Sin prevents us from entering into an intimate relationship with the God family. So, Jesus, the Son, and part of the God family, became a man in order to take care of the problem. He modeled grace living perfectly. He lived his life totally dependent upon the Father for life and power. Since he was God, the creator of mankind, he knew how to control fleshly temptation without sinning. He was tempted in all points, yet without sin. He was the perfect man that God the Father would use to rectify the separation between the God family and mankind. Again, Dutch Sheets, in his book Intercessory Prayer, shares, the first Adam had failed in a garden. Jesus, the new Adam, would succeed in the garden. Sin entered the world through a tree. Jesus was crucified on a cross made from a tree that would restore the relationship between God and mankind. Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, would give his life for the sins of the world, redeeming mankind. And the word redeem means to buy back what had been previously owned. Jesus would become sin on our behalf and endure the punishment for the sins of the world. He would die for our sins on a cross, but he would rise again because he was God. The God family would be satisfied with Jesus' work for sins of the world. Therefore, the opportunity for relationship with God would be reopened to the world. Yet mankind has a part. They must receive by faith the gift offered to them in order to receive the benefit of forgiveness of sins to enter into relationship with God. Dr. David Ekman, founder of a ministry called Becoming What God Intended, shares with many a congregation, the question is not about sin, but what are we going to do about God's Son Jesus? Dr. Ekman shares, the Father has given us His Son for our sins. He has given us His best, and He's not given us anything else. In essence, He says literally and figuratively, if you won't accept My Son, to hell with you. You bet that wakes up the congregation on Sunday mornings. The God family worked out this wonderful plan to restore the human race to a better position than the original Garden of Eden, making us sons and daughters of God forever by simply receiving this free gift. Jesus was a solution for God, the Father's judgment of the world's sin, opening up the opportunity for us to be part of God's family. Would you like to be part of God's family? Would you like to join God's team today? It starts by admitting you're not perfect. Have you ever done anything wrong in your life? If you're honest, who hasn't? But this is exactly why we need a Savior. Let me lead us in a word of prayer for those who have not accepted Jesus' free gift of eternal life. Dear God, I admit I'm a sinner. I cannot save myself or earn your approval by my own effort. I change my mind and receive your free gift of forgiveness of my sins and invite you, Jesus, to come live inside me. I thank you that you died for my sins and arose on the third day and offer me eternal life as a free gift. I accept your free gift. Thank you that you make me your child and adopt me into your family. Amen. Amazingly, the start of your relationship with God can be that simple. Just as physical birth can occur in a moment, yet that is just the beginning of your life. So it's true in a spiritual realm. Receiving Jesus is just the beginning of our spiritual journey. Yet without having God living in us, it's impossible to live the life God is calling us to. Next time I'll discuss the topic, after we become a Christian, who are we? We become a new person, but always remain dependent on God. We are changed from a sinner to a saint and much more. I hope you'll tune in next time for the next part of the study, Resting in Jesus' Life.
This concludes today's program of Grace Living for Everyday Life. Thank you for listening. If you would like to contact Bob Jones, you can email him at bobforgracewalk@yahoo.com. That's Bob, the number 4, gracewalk@yahoo.com. Or you may contact him through the online community section of this website. We hope you will tune into the program next time, and have a grace-filled day.